Welcome to Faith and Freedom. We hope to inform, inspire, and encourage you to stand up for faith and freedom as we discuss victories and challenges in the courts, in public policy, and in the culture. Faith and Freedom is brought to you by Liberty Counsel, a litigation, education, and policy organization. Join us now as we address the latest cultural issues across America and around the world.
Liberty Counsel appeals a buffer zone ruling again. We're going to be talking about this on Faith and Freedom. I'm Matt Staver, founder and chairman of Liberty Counsel. Joining me is Matt Barber, the founder of BarbedWire.com, and Holly Mead, the director of communications for Liberty Counsel. Well, Liberty Counsel filed an appeal to what is called the Third Circuit Court of Appeals involving this Harrisburg, Pennsylvania buffer zone because the lower district court denied our request for a preliminary injunction a second time. Now, the first time this lower court judge denied our injunction, we appealed to the Federal Court of Appeals, and they unanimously sided with us, reversed the case, said that the lower court judge ruled incorrectly, putting the burden on us rather than the city to ultimately come up with its reasons for this buffer zone. We went back to the trial court, and again, the trial court judge ultimately ruled against us again. Matt, this is very frustrating because the evidence is so clear in this case. At the Court of Appeals and in the district court below, the attorneys and representatives for the city acknowledged that there were problems with this buffer zone case and that they did not have evidence for its reason to exist.
Yeah, and so this lower court judge is going rogue here again, kind of thumbing his nose at the higher court. I hope during this appeal they smack him down hard this time.
Yeah, in fact, what happened was the lower court judge ultimately ruled against us the first time and basically said that the burden is on us. But the problem is once you raise a constitutional free speech infringement, the burden is on the defendant, in this case, the city of Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, to justify why its restriction on speech is the least restrictive means. They have to show that they've tried other means to achieve their interest, whatever that interest may be. Those are not sufficient. And so this buffer zone, the least restrictive means to achieve their alleged interest. They didn't do that. They didn't present any evidence to that. We appealed it. The Federal Court of Appeals agreed with us, reversed it, went back down to the court. And guess what? At the appeal argument, the counsel for the city admitted that they had never tried anything else. They had never filed any other lawsuits. They had never tried to use any of their existing loitering or other kinds of laws on the books. They just went from their position of wanting to protect this clinic to the most restrictive means by pushing people away up to 70 feet away from the Planned Parenthood Abortion Center. And then during the hearing, they admitted the same thing. We never tried anything else. And you know why they said they didn't try anything else? Because the city is financially strapped.
Yeah.
They can't afford to. In other words, they can't afford to put a police officer out there. They said, well, it wouldn't be practical to use the other laws that are already on the books that would not infringe on free speech, to have someone call the police and have a policeman come there to remedy a violation of existing law, because by the time they get there, the person would be gone. Well, you know what? They could take a photograph of the person, right?
Yeah.
And they could go find him. So imagine the police department, the city, saying, we can't really enforce any of our criminal laws or trespassing laws, because once the householder person calls us and we come to their property,
the criminal will be gone.
The criminal will be gone.
Same exact logic. Yeah.
It's the same logic.
Or illogic. Yeah.
Yeah.
But imagine this. I mean, visualize this. Trying to have a conversation with somebody and standing 70 feet away from that person.
Well, that's the point, of course.
It just won't happen. You know?
That's what these buffers are.
And it's on a public sidewalk. And
yeah.
She says, well, it's just a small section of sidewalk. So she says, well, first of all, yeah, I acknowledge that they conceded away the case. But, she says, we're not going to hold that against them. They did it twice. They did it at the Court of Appeals. They did it during the trial. But we're not going to hold that against them. And I acknowledge that they haven't tried anything else because it's not practical, because by the time they get there, the alleged perpetrator, the violator of the existing law, will be gone. And yeah, I acknowledge that they haven't tried anything else because they say, well, we have a budget shortfall in the city. And so we can't send a police officer out there. We can't do anything else. So what we're going to do is we're going to go directly to this buffer zone. Well, guess what? You know what happens? If you have a buffer zone and you have to be 70 feet away, what happens when somebody enters into that buffer zone? What are they going to do? They have to call a police officer, right? And the police officer has to come out there, and somebody has to say, they entered the buffer zone. And how's that any different than saying you can't block the entrance, which is what the existing law would have?
Mm-hmm.
That's fine. That blocking an entrance is not free speech, but speaking or giving literature is free speech. Either way, you have to call a police officer.
But they're not blocking anything. These are just peaceful sidewalk counselors.
The goal is to move the goalposts. They just want to push. Yeah. They want to negate the First Amendment rights of protesters to communicate. That's exactly what they're. That's what these buffer zones are all about: pushing people to the fringes and to the margins where their message cannot be shared.
They just don't want to stop women from going in and killing their children. Is what the bottom line
and
is
you
here.
You can't
folks.
Hand them a piece of literature to a receptive person 50 to 70 feet away. You just can't do it. You can't fold it up in an airplane and fly it that far.
Oh.
You can't have a general conversation. You'd have to raise your voice. And here they also said this. They said under the buffer zone, you know, our point was under the buffer zone, they have to listen to the content of what's being said. So they have to judge on the content as to whether they're going to enforce it. The evidence showed that they said, the city said, yeah, if two people are just walking along and they meet each other and they start talking, then that's not going to be prohibited by the buffer zone because that's not congregating in violation of the buffer zone. But if two people begin a conversation about abortion, choose life, guess what? That's prohibited by the buffer zone. So what happens? They have to listen to the content of what's being said.
Viewpoint discrimination.
Yeah. If two people are on the sidewalk and they say, hey, Joe, how you doing? You know, they get into a conversation. I haven't seen you in a long time. Do you have some time to go out for dinner and get the family together? No problem. Now, two people are walking on the sidewalk and they say, hey, Joe, we should advocate that choose life, or Joe and Bob or Sally or whatever it might be, they're saying choose life. They have a sign that says, like this woman here, one of our clients, abortion hurts women. Well, that's prohibited by the buffer zone. This is frustrating. This is what is frustrating from a constitutional litigation perspective when the facts and the law are clearly in your favor. And some judges have a predisposition to just simply bend the law. Remember how we talked about the Court of Appeals saying that the abortion decisions from the Supreme Court are a, quote, aberration of constitutional law, close quote? This is an example of an aberration of constitutional law when the facts and the law are on your side and the court ultimately goes the different direction. Well, we've appealed it before. We won. We're going to appeal it again. We've already done that. Pray for this case. The case is Riley versus City of Harrisburg. And now it's on to the Federal Court of Appeals for a second time to stand for free speech and for life. Continue to pray for the case of Riley versus City of Harrisburg. We're on to the Federal Court of Appeals again. Thank you for your prayers and your financial support and partnership with Liberty Counsel. I encourage you to go to lc.org and sign up for our emails right there on the front page. You can sign up for the Liberty Alert emails, which contains this and other information, and also our grassroots action emails that will allow you to become vocal in your views before Congress and other places so that you can get involved in making a difference in America. LC.org. You can also go to our donate page to learn how to support and financially partner with Liberty Counsel. Remember, the Supreme Court nomination process, we're very involved in that, praying for and working with that nomination. It's very critical that we have a justice on the Supreme Court that fills Kennedy's seat, that respects the rule of law, that interprets, not makes, the law. That'll make a critical difference in not only the constitutional interpretation, but in the sanctity of human life. Go to lc.org.
You've been listening to Faith and Freedom, brought to you by Liberty Counsel. We hope that we have motivated you to stand up for your faith, family, and freedom. Get informed and get involved today. Visit Liberty Counsel's website at lc.org, where you can obtain email alerts and other information to keep you informed and involved. The website again, lc.org. You can also call us at 407-875-1776. Again, that phone number, 407-875-1776. The website again, lc.org.